Welcome to part three of the eight-part podcast on international arbitration featuring Bob Davidson, the head of the JAMS International Arbitration Practice. Part three is pleadings and interim relief.
Well, thank you. Let's go on to pleadings. Pleadings in international arbitration will vary widely, actually, in a very similar way to, I think, you may be used to domestic pleadings. Some folks will just give a kind of notice pleading, a very bare-bones type of event, and others will give a more expansive view of life when they're setting forth their claim. It is the more the tradition and usual for the notice of arbitration or statement of claim, they're called various things in various institutional rules, will be in a much more detailed format than they would be in the typical domestic case. There are some systems, civil law systems, in fact, most civil law systems, where everything is done pretty much in writing, where the initial forays into the pleadings are, in fact, extremely expansive. In Germany, for example, the claimant who files in a German court, or the plaintiff, will file boxes often of material that will include not only the allegations that are made in the pleading itself, but all the underlying evidentiary proof. And the other side will, in fact, do the same in response. And the judge there will receive a whole load of material for the first conference. While it's usually not that bad, in an international arbitration, you will almost always get an expansive pleading, which, if not accompanied by evidentiary material, and there may be things like the contract and some key documents which are attached, will certainly go through chapter and verse as to what happened and what the allegations are and what the relief sought is going to be. If you go to the rules, JAMS International Arbitration, for example, or you go to the ICC rules, there will be actual requirements as to what has to be set forth in the pleading. You'll have to name the parties. You have to give the addresses of the parties. You have to name the lawyers. If you file one of these cases, you explain what the case is about. You have to recite the arbitration agreement that you allege applies, therefore demonstrating to the institution that this dispute is subject to arbitration properly. And then you will await an answering statement and perhaps some counterclaims, which in like fashion will detail what has to be said. There may be a reply. Sometimes litigants, especially from the United States, file a reply to counterclaims. That's perfectly okay. And sometimes a tribunal, upon request, will allow a fourth pleading, a rejoinder. And if that's done, that's fine. The only set rules involve what has to be in the statement of claim and in the answering statement. After you get the pleadings, there will then be certain procedural steps which you will be expected to take as an international arbitrator. We will get to them in another podcast. But one of the things that you may get right away is an application for interim relief. There are emergency arbitrator proceedings which are now part of just about every institutional rule. JAMS does not have them in their international rules, but we are amending those rules, and we're going to provide for that as well. Emergency relief is similar to emergency relief that you're used to in a U.S. court. It's an application by one of the parties that says there is great urgency and that that party needs to either preserve the goods or needs an injunction of some sort. When that application is made, you will go to the rules of the institution and you will find out what your obligations are with respect to hearing such relief. Now, the institutions that have emergency relief will appoint, because it takes time to appoint one of these tribunals. Remember, the claimant will appoint its arbitrator, the respondent will appoint its arbitrator sometimes 60 days later. The two will try to get together and have a third. And it's often a 60 or 90-day process, sometimes more, before you have three arbitrators constituted as a panel. So there's an emergency application. These rules permit the institution to appoint a single individual to hear the application pending the constitution of the arbitration tribunal. The arbitration tribunal, once constituted, will have the right to modify or vacate or do something with this emergency relief, but the party who requires it will not be left out in the cold. Now, the party who wants emergency relief, by the way, has a choice. They can go into a court of appropriate jurisdiction and apply for that relief. But one of the reasons that emergency relief in an international arbitration is more or less favored under the arbitration rules rather than a local court is that, first, the party who wants it might be the outsider. Secondly, the court of appropriate jurisdiction might not be so obvious as to which court has jurisdiction with respect to this. Is it the place of arbitration? Is it the place of the subject matter? If there's a meeting, a board meeting that is sought to be enjoined, do you have to go to the place the board meeting is called for? Do you have to go to the place of incorporation? Do you have to go to the place of arbitration? And often questions like that lead litigants to seek emergency relief from the arbitral institution, which is ultimately going to hear their claim. And once that is done, the relief will either be granted or not. And once you're impaneled as an arbitrator, you will revisit that undoubtedly upon the application of the losing party. An application for interim relief and the decision on that is usually embodied in something called a partial final award. And the reason is that these awards are not self-enforcing. And suppose that either an emergency arbitrator or an arbitral tribunal decides to grant a relief enjoining a board meeting, let's say, that was going to vote on approval of some merger, that board meeting is not to take place until the arbitrators determine the underlying merits. It's not self-enforcing. And in order to avoid that meeting taking place, if one of the arbitrating parties who loses the interim application, you know, thumbs its nose as the arbitrator at the arbitrators, that award has to be enforced in some jurisdiction. And that's why you call it a partial final award. Interim awards are generally not enforceable. Partial final awards or final awards are, in fact, can be recognized and enforced, and usually are, by a court once an arbitral tribunal declares them to be pertinent and issues them. So interim relief, if there's an application, will be the first thing with which you will have to deal.